Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we go more in-depth into the articles at the website. You can read them there, and you can send in your questions at CatherineColleen.com or KOABD.com. We'll take you to the same place. Go over to the community page and send in your questions there, or you can send them in directly by email at questions@KOABD.com. If you want to remain anonymous, just let me know. Or if you would not like to be anonymous, let me know. Either way. So this is the podcast where I am on a mission to bring peace to the world, one person at a time, by accelerating personal development, by helping people go from a place of questioning life to a place of feeling complete unto themselves and at peace. And if I can do that for you, then that makes me really happy. So today I want to talk about a couple of things. I want to talk about oneness versus aloneness, feeling at one versus feeling alone. And then I also want to talk about self-growth through suffering versus through challenge. So let's talk about oneness and aloneness. And we often have the goal of spending more time in later stages of the cycle of human development. Once you get to these later stages, you start to feel the oneness of all things. You start to feel deeply connected with all things. But just because you've felt that, it does not mean that you never feel alone or that you will never again feel separate. So even though I'm aware and I can feel that I am the one consciousness, I'm also human. It doesn't mean you transcend your own humanity. If anything, you're just more connected to it. So to fully experience my humanity, I must feel the aloneness and the separateness that sometimes come with it. You know, we enter this world believing that we are not separate from anything, and we're correct. But this existence, and some people would say we're taught wrong, right? That we are taught that we are separate from anything. I think it's reinforced, but I think it's just the natural human condition. Here we are in this body, which is separate from these other objects and separate from these other people that are in these other bodies. And the feeling of separateness, I think, is impossible. It's certainly reinforced in what we're taught, but I don't think the teaching is all of it. I think it's a natural feeling. And we have to feel that if we're fully experiencing our humanity. But I must also feel the connectedness of two people and an entire crowd at a concert. Have you ever felt the connection between an entire crowd when that favorite song comes on at a live concert? It's amazing. And this too is being human. And all of it is being human. I find it very challenging to feel the oneness all the time. I find it very challenging to stay for very long periods of time in the later stages where you're really feeling that oneness. I've been there. I go there as often as I can, but it's hard to stay. And the reason it's hard to stay is the realities of the constantly turning wheel of life, right? Things happen, things stress you out. And you can't help it. So the concept of yin and yang, in part, shows us that there's a balance in everything. There's no good without bad to compare it to. There's no light without dark. Ranges of emotion are not immune to this principle of balance, I believe. So the bad news is that there is not oneness without aloneness or separateness. That's the bad news. But the good news is that there's no aloneness without oneness. There is no separateness without connectedness. As sure as you feel alone in this world, it's not permanent. Given time and a little bit of effort, you will feel connection and oneness again. And vice versa. Given time, you will feel aloneness and separateness again. And the key is to not think of aloneness or separateness as a bad thing. It's in balance with the oneness, right? Judging aloneness as bad distracts us from everything good about it. Aloneness is necessary for growth, for thinking about the bigger questions, for those inward journeys. It's very hard to do that if you're not alone. Without aloneness, you could never reach the stages where you can realize your oneness and your connectedness. That's the irony. Aloneness leads to oneness. It's required for it. It's necessary. It's not necessarily sufficient, but it's necessary. So when you feel the connectedness, when you feel connected to a good friend, to a lover or a spouse, when you feel connected to a family member, to a stranger, when you feel connected to a whole crowd of people at a concert, bask in it. And when that wheel rotates around again into aloneness, harness it as an opportunity for growth and for insight to say, okay, this too. Now it's time for aloneness. And soon enough, if you harness that aloneness, if you use it, the wheel will turn right back around again and you'll be back in a place of oneness or connection. And now feeling connected, it feels wonderful. And feeling alone can feel very sad and unworthy. There's something in our humanity that does not want to be alone. But at the same time, there's something in our humanity that needs some time alone to think about these bigger questions, to do the deep internal work. So we can think that our aloneness is because of something that we did. Well, maybe it is. But usually, it's because of something you need to do. Usually, it's because you need to be alone right now to do that inner work that will set the foundation for your next phase. And that's so important, I want to repeat it. So we can often think that if we are alone, it's because of something that we did, that we're wrong in some way. But that's not it. Usually, if you're alone, it's because there's something you need to do. There's something you need to do, and you can't do it unless you're alone right now. So the universe, your river, the river of your life has brought you to a place where you can be alone. Do the work. So do the work. Say thank you for this opportunity and do the work. And you will find yourself brought into a place of deep connection and oneness soon enough. As soon as you've done the work. So the lesson is to appreciate both. Harness both. And see both as a balance that helps you flow into and out of each phase of your journey. That it's yin and yang. We're going to keep going back and forth. Connectedness, separateness. Connectedness, separateness, right? Oneness and aloneness, and oneness and aloneness. Neither is good or bad. They're both necessary, and they're both human. So, thinking about our own growth, thinking about all that self-growth we're supposed to be doing when we're in a state of aloneness, you might say, okay, then if my river has brought me to a place of aloneness or separateness, and I think it kind of sucks, so I want to get through it as fast as I can. You'll say, okay, let's do it. Let's do the work that it takes to get me back to a place where my river will bring me to feeling connected again. And there's a couple of different approaches to self-growth. It's a generic term. It's an accurate term, but it's so generic that it doesn't really mean as much as one would hope. So I've heard it said that to grow in terms of your mental strength and your self-understanding, that you must suffer. Go look up David Goggins, G-O-G-G-I-N-S, David Goggins. And there's others who talk about this as well, but he's probably the most intense one that I've seen. And he's a great advocate of suffering to build your mental strength and to build your self-understanding. And while enduring physical pain is certainly one way to see how strong you can be, I think it's incomplete. I think physical pain and mental pain are one way that you certainly would learn something about yourself and grow your mental strength. But I think that's not all there is to it. So let me explain. So in my younger years, when I was 23 and then again when I was 27, I chose to deliver my babies naturally, but not taking pain medication, which if you're tuning in from a Western country, is just a very crazy idea, right? It's like, why would you not take the pain medicine? But I just wanted to know if I could take it. I just wanted to know if I could face that challenge and do what nature intended and deliver life unto this world. And I handled the first one with some amount of grace. I trained for it vehemently, breathing techniques and things like that. And I think I handled it somewhat gracefully. The second, however, was an induced labor. It was much harder labor. And it seemed to really bring out my sailor mouth. I handled it quite ungracefully, but I handled it nonetheless. And I learned how strong I was, and I'm thankful for that experience. It was a natural pain. It was something my body was designed to do. It was a planned pain. I intended to put myself through this pain. And it was beautiful. And it was a profound experience that really taught me a lot. In sharp contrast to that, when I was about 37, I endured a LEAP procedure. Look it up. Not fun. Basically, without any anesthesia. See, I do not respond to lidocaine. And my doctor did not believe me. And as a result, I endured basically a surgical procedure without anesthesia. And it was horrific. I would like to forget that experience. I did not find growth or mental strength in that at all. It was an unnatural pain. It was an unplanned pain. I did not intend to go through that. And I did not, as a result of it, have growth from that. I had trauma from that. So the difference between these two experiences is that I chose the challenge of natural childbirth. Challenges that you choose are growth opportunities, whereas pain that is thrust upon you is just trauma. Choice, however, is only the first aspect of a growth experience, I think. So I believe from my own experiences and that of others that growth experiences must be three things. One, it has to be your choice. Two, it has to be something that intimidates you or that you are not at all certain you can handle. It's got to have a little bit of an intimidation factor of like, man, I don't know if I can do this. And three, it will require you to either face a fear or build a new skill. Or both. So these are, I believe, the three components. Number one, it's got to be your choice. Two, it's got to be something that intimidates you or challenges you to a certain level. You can't know ahead of time, oh, yeah, I could do that. If it's too easy, you're not going to get any growth out of it. And three, it's going to require you to face a fear or build a new skill. I don't believe that pain, physical or otherwise, specifically, is necessary. So, for example, natural childbirth was my choice. I wasn't sure that I could handle it, and it was intimidating and required me to face my fear of pain and to learn breathing techniques to help overcome it. But I'm not sure that the pain component is actually required. So as another example that does not involve pain, I'm currently attempting to learn all of these new languages simultaneously. It was my choice. It's intimidating every time I sit down with it. I'm not at all certain I can pull this off, and it requires me to build an enormous and diverse set of new language skills. There's no physical pain involved, but it has been a profound growth experience. And some challenges are greater than others. For example, I challenged myself to contact my idols, people who have been a huge influence on me. Through their music or through their writing, you know, people that I just greatly admire. I felt like a complete dork. Just an absolute complete dork. It was nerve-wracking. But it wasn't nearly as hard as language learning. Right? To sit there and, like, send out an email to Sting. I felt like a complete dork and it was nerve-wracking. But it wasn't as hard as learning languages, and it sure as hell wasn't as hard as childbirth. So there are different degrees of challenge. And I think that we grow and or have some self-insight, or just insight into humanity, in direct proportion to the size of the challenge. The greater the challenge, the more we learn about ourselves and our world. Now, some challenges are instant, or kind of short term, right? It's a short challenge. And other challenges are long term, right? There's a different lesson and a different awareness and a different skill set to be learned from the challenge of running 5 miles every day for months, perhaps years on end, than from the challenge of running a single 10K race. See the difference? There can be a short-term intense challenge, or there could be the challenge of long-term consistency. And both types of challenges, I think, are important and have something to offer. Short-term challenges can teach you spontaneity or that you're capable of so much more, and long-term challenges can teach you self-discipline and delayed gratification and other great insights about yourself. So that is my point. I'm not certain that suffering is required for growth. I believe challenge is necessary for growth. And there are all kinds of different degrees of challenge. But I'm not certain that actual suffering and pain is necessary for growth. The challenge may involve pain, but it's the fact that it's a challenge, I believe, that helps you grow. So that's my two cents there. So what are you going to challenge yourself to? What's that going to be? What are you going to challenge yourself to? So if you're in a period of aloneness and separateness, this is an opportunity for growth, and that growth can often be found through challenge of a mental kind, of a physical kind, of both. So what's it going to be? Let's pick one, make it happen, and let me know how it goes. That's enough for today. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.